to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. We'll have a race to see who can get there first. Genesis chapter 1. All right. Well, I'm excited about a new series of messages that God has for us in His Word together. I feel led to preach a series on relationships, specifically broken relationships. Relationships that we would deem as fragile, right? Relationships that we would deem as too far gone, as we just heard in the song, or damaged, or worthless, or betrayed filled, or complicated. How many of you got complicated relationships, yeah? And or wounded relationships. The message of this whole series is simply that God will mend and heal those broken relationships if we'll give them over to Him. The truth is, folks, we live in a pretty busted up world, a broken world, a fallen world, a hurting world, and inside that world are broken, busted up, failing, fallen people. And the reason for that is that we love to, we in our sin, lash out, we get angry with each other, we cheat on each other, we steal, we get frustrated, we argue, we divide, we hold grudges, we choose, you know, things, addictions or abuses or anything like that. We choose those things over, you know, over our relationships, and we end up never healing up. And what we like to do is we like to blame what's external, you know, as to why those words are said, as to why those actions are done. What we'll do is we'll blame the circumstances, we'll blame the rumors, or we'll blame the lies, or we'll blame the gossip. We'll blame last year's Christmas dinner as to why we don't speak to our families. You know, we'll blame that awkward family reunion. We'll blame the church family picnic as to why we don't love our brothers and sisters. See, our broken relationships, though, they don't break over what's external. Okay, marriages don't crumble overnight. And sons and daughters don't rebel in an instant. And friendships don't dissolve over a single argument. And a church family doesn't split over a nominating committee decision. Okay. Our broken relationships are a result of something that's going on inside. Something super spiritual, inward turmoil, struggle, and conflict and wounds that are being thrown at us by our enemy. And so we are damaged, broken, wounded people because of what has happened inside. Thinking on that, I want to ask you this. Have you ever received a notice for a recall before? Have you ever? Yeah, man, they can really freak you out when you get those recalls in the mail. Like, what about a food that you have just bought and you see a recall for it, and they say, you know, there are shards of glass in your peanut butter. And just want you to know that it could kill you if you consume it. And you're like eating peanut butter as you read it. Or what about this one I saw just recently? This it was tuna cubes, and they sent a recall out for tuna cubes because they had hepatitis A in them. And I don't eat tuna, thank God. But ooh, or what about car recalls? You know, you get that in the mail. And you're driving your car down the road, and then you think about it. This car has been said that if this is not fixed right now, it could burst into flame at any moment. Just ticking time bomb. Or what about toy recalls, car seat recalls? I mean, exercise equipment recalls. Lord help us, right? Well, I recently read a recall that described the human heart. Came from the Lord, and it said this: the maker of all human beings is recalling all units manufactured, regardless of the make, year, and model, due to a serious defect in the primary and central component of the heart. This is due to a malfunction in the original prototype unit's code named Adam and Eve, resulting in the reproduction of the same defect in all subsequent units. This is a true story, by the way. And this defect, it really is, this defect has been technically determined subsequential internal non-morality, or more commonly known as sin, as it is primarily expressed. Some other symptoms are the loss of direction, foul vocal emissions, amnesia of origin, lack of peace and joy, selfishness, violent behavior, depression or confusion in the mental component, fearfulness, idolatry, and rebellion. The manufacturer, who is neither liable or at fault for this defect, is providing factory authorized repair and service free of charge to correct the sin defect. The repair technician, Jesus Christ, has most generously offered to bear the entire burden of the staggering cost of these repairs. The number to call for repair in all areas of crisis is 1-316-PRAYER. Once connected, please upload your burden of sin through repentance procedure. Next, download atonement from the repair technician, Jesus, in the heart component. No matter how big or small the defect is, Jesus will replace it with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Please see the operating manual, Holy Bible, for further details on the use of these fixes. Also, as an added upgrade, the manufacturer has made available to all repaired units a facility enabling direct monitoring and assistance from a resident maintenance tech, the Holy Spirit. Repaired units need only make him welcome, and he will take up permanent residence on the premises. That's neat. We hear that and we laugh a bit, but the reality is we have some serious, serious damage that has been done in our hearts. And that's why our relationships aren't always so good. And that has brought the sin out of us and in us, and our sinful ways damage those relationships. Now, if I were preaching, you know, to a host of lost people today, this would make sense. Okay, because lost people live in sin, and it's normal for sinful people to sin, and it's normal for sinful people to have and look like and smell like and talk like, smell like sinners, because they indeed are, right? I can understand why lost sinners kill each other. I can understand why they fight and why they abuse and why they destroy and quarrel, because that's what lost people do. But some of the most defeated and beat up and discouraged and at war critical cases and relationships happens in the church. Happens among believers. We are terrible to each other at times, aren't we? I mean, we break each other in our sin. And so what if I told you that as we begin this series, that Jesus offers that healing, that Jesus offers that mending, that God has spoken to us countless times in his word about to heal, how to heal and mend our broken relationships, that God can actually mend hurtful words, that God can actually mend the broken marriage, that God can actually mend the betrayed friendship, and he can mend parent-child complications, and God can mend fragile church community. God can mend it all, can he? All right. If we will simply surrender ourselves and our sin at his feet and his will and his way for our lives and allow him to work inside our brokenness. But we've got to be willing to do things his way. We've got to allow God to heal us his way. And mending comes by his grace alone and by his love alone, his care, his salvation and word alone. So how I want to start this series today is simply by looking at what was meant to be intended for our relationships. And that's the perfect relationship between man, God, and one another. So we're in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 26. If you have your place, let's stand and let's read the word together. Genesis 1, 26. We're going to read through 2:25. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And then God said, "See, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I've given every green herb for food." And it was so. And God, and also to every beast. Oh, and then God saw everything that he made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were complete in all their vast array. And by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating what he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river watering the garden flowed from Eden, from where it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is Pishon, and its winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. Its winds throughout the entire land of Cush, or winds its way throughout the land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs alongside the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the grounds all of the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. And so the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. So shall she be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were unashamed." You may be seated. Now, thinking about the perfect relationship. We are people in pursuit of good relationships. We are people in pursuit of right relationships, trustworthy relationships with other people. And if we went around the room and we asked what would make the perfect relationship, I'm sure that we would get this vast amount of responses, but I'm sure that there would be words like trust that would be thrown in there. Words like love or common interest or attraction or sacrifice or even humility or honesty. All of these things would be named. But truthfully, we know deep within there's no such thing as a picture-perfect relationship. I mean, I can go across the room and I see you smiling. Everybody smile. I see you smile. Yeah. Okay. And you're happy right now, and you've got goodness today. But if I followed you around as good as you are and as happy as you are, if I followed you around for a few days in everyday life, you would eventually crack and you would reveal the truth that the relationships that you have on a regular basis are far from perfect. Can I get a witness? Right? Yeah. So I want you to do this. Let's go ahead and break the ice. Look to your neighbor and say it with me. I love you. Go ahead. But you're not perfect. Some of y'all need to be careful. But listen, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We're not. We're in all need of mending. But there was a time where we were all together, we all lived in harmony with God and one another, and we were destined and we were designed for that perfect relationship. John Eldridge, in his book Epic, he said, "Life for most of us feels like a movie that we've arrived to 40 minutes late. We find ourselves in the middle of a story that is sometimes wonderful, sometimes awful, usually a confusing mixture of the two. No wonder we can't make any sense of it all, and that we keep losing heart." When we were born, folks, we were born into the midst of this great story that had begun before the dawn of time. And today I want you to see the beginning of that story before our brokenness, before our sin, before our relationships were so tainted. I want to take you back, but I also want you to look within and see the need that you have and I have for healing, for mending, for restoration, and realize it's still possible. It's still possible. So here's a couple of things I want you to think about today. Here's the first. Remember first who we are meant to be in the perfect relationship. In the perfect relationship, remember who we are meant to be. Now, I don't know how long I'm going to have, you know, your focus today. I don't know if you're going to listen 10 more minutes down the road, but I need you to hear this, okay? I need you to focus on this, and I pray that you're going to believe this with your heart. What was meant to be with God since the foundations of the world, what was meant to be at creation, what was meant for Adam and Eve is meant for you today too. In the perfect relationship, you are meant, don't miss this, in the perfect relationship, you are meant to be created in the image of God and cared for and handcrafted and cared for by the loving hand of God. The brokenness that you feel today, the weight of that sin or the weight of that guilt, the weight of that pain and shame that floods into your mind and heart and into your relationships, the things that are broken in your life, I want you to understand something. That's not from God. Okay? And it's not from you either. You've got an enemy who's destroyed a lot of things in your life. And none of us in this room today were meant to be broken. You hear me? None of us were meant to be broken. None of us were made to live in sin. None of us were made to live in pain or addiction or abuse. None of us were meant to have broken relationships. In the perfect relationship, you were and are created in the image of Almighty God. And even though our relationships today are far from perfect, I look across this room and I see person after person created and handcrafted in the image of God. That's what you are. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 27, God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." And then he gives them rulership and dominion. He says, "Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And look at verse 27. So God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then I want you to look at the first part of verse 31. It says, God saw all that he had made. And this was after the fact that man was created. When God saw all that he was made, it was very, very good. Very good. Folks, you were made to be very good. Because you were created and handcrafted in the hand of God. You may not believe this today. Nobody may have never told you this before, but you are indeed a masterpiece. Believe it or not, you are a perfect 10 in the heart of God. God doesn't make junk. Think about that. You're a jewel. And my boys, I think about this on a regular basis. My boys are incredibly appreciative of what God can do with his hands. There's not a day that goes by, we ride down the road, and I'll hear somebody from the back seat say, "Daddy, look at that." And I'm like, "What?" And they're looking at maybe sunset or sunrise, or they look at clouds, or they spot a rainbow. They're quick to say, "Look at rainbow." They'll see flowers, and they'll say, "Daddy, look at all those beautiful flowers." Micah even loves to go by cemeteries, and even though they're dead flowers, he goes, "Daddy, look at all those beautiful flowers." They notice, and they praise the handiwork of God on a regular basis, and there's no question about it. God is an artist like no other. But something I want you to keep in mind is that the greatest masterpiece that was ever created were not the mountains that you live in, was not the ocean you're going to visit this summer, was not the islands or the sunsets that you're going to see. God's greatest creation and masterpiece, you. You. The scripture tells us that we were made in his image. We were made in his likeness. Now that likeness has kind of faded, because likeness means that these folks were just like God. Okay, but in the image of God, all that's still intact. Okay, that means that you are a reflection of God in every way to the world. That should bring about three things in your life. That should challenge you in your perception of yourself. That should also bring conviction in your spirit that if I'm made to be like God, I should live like God. And also, it should bring a change in our hearts. You're not a mistake. You're not whatever your enemy has whispered to you time and time and time again. You are not what your past mistakes have labeled you to be. You're not the product of some bad situation or some bad circumstance. You are a child of God, created in His very image. And God says, we're very, very good. I know it's hard to look at your life, and I do the same thing. There are days when I don't see beauty at all, and you're like, definitely. And there are days where I don't see a masterpiece, and I don't see anything good about me. And there are even times when I can't even see God. But when we see ourselves, we tend to look at our flaws, don't we? When we see ourselves, we tend to look at our sins and our weaknesses, and we do that not only to ourselves, but we do that to one another as well. And that's why our relationships are so beat up. But I'm telling you, when God looks at you, when He sees your heart, when He sees your life, if you have believed, here it is, if you have believed on Jesus Christ, He sees the image of His very Son. He sees His Son all over you. He sees His beauty and grace and love and redemption. God sees in you through Christ Jesus all that you are and all that you're meant to be.
Amen.
God sees all that through Christ Jesus. Remember who you are meant to be. In the perfect relationship, created by God, cared for, loved by, and adored by Him. Think about these scriptures. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared before the foundations of the world. How about Psalm 139:17, where God says, how precious are your thoughts of me, they cannot be numbered. John 1:12 says, but to all who received Him, those who believe in His name, He has given the right to become children of God. John 5:15 says, we are no longer slaves, but we are friends of God. We are not condemned in Christ, but we're set free, new creatures, born again through Christ Jesus, chosen, holy, blameless, Ephesians 1:4 tells us. You're His. Is He yours? You're His. Is He yours? So remember who you are meant to be. Number two, remember in that perfect relationship what we needed. Remember what we needed. And in case you thought that those needs have changed, they have not. Just a few things that we needed. Every person on the face of the planet is in need of relationship. Every person on the face of the earth is in need of relationship. And some of you may grumble, well, I don't need anybody. Grunt. I'm just fine on my own. I don't need the love. I don't need any friends. I don't need any family. I don't need any church, and I don't need any God. I'm a loner. I sound like Yosemite Sam. If you live like that, if you act like that, I'm telling you, you're not walking in the will of God. Okay, you were meant for a relationship. You needed relationship. Genesis 2:18, the first part says that it is not good. God says it is not good for man to be alone. And so God had given Adam a job, a responsibility. God had given Adam this responsibility to name the animals. Whew. God had given him dominion over them. But as Adam named the animals, he became aware that none of them looked like him. That's how evolution is a falsity. He looks around and he's like, none of these guys look like me. Okay? They don't resemble me. You know what he needed? He needed a relationship. So I want you to do this. Look to your neighbor and tell them, you need me. Here, go ahead. Yeah. You do. You need me. Here it is. You can only live in a relationship. Okay. I heard a story about this evil emperor. His name was Emperor Frederick. He was from the 13th century. He was over the Roman Empire. And he wanted to know what our original language was. He wanted to know if our original language was Hebrew, Greek, or Latin. So this is what he did. He decided to isolate several infant babies from their mothers, from their fathers, from their siblings, from their family, any family. And he also said, here's the rule. They've got to be separated from you, and they cannot in any way hear the sound of human voice. And so his reasoning was that even if the child couldn't hear a human voice, they would eventually speak naturally their language of origin. And so nobody could speak to them. No wet nurses, no caretakers, no one could speak to them. The infants never heard a single word in their life, not a sound from the human voice. And within several months, they all died. You can be prideful if you want. You can isolate yourself if you want. But we were created to need one another. All right, the need for relationships. And Adam needed first a relationship with God. And wow, did God give him what he needed? Adam and later Eve had perfect communion with God. They walked with God. They talked with God. They had a deep knowledge of God, okay? They knew God as he is. Think about that. They knew God as he is. That means that their minds, they were not confused. They weren't diluted with falsity or half-truths or myths or objections. They had no need for faith. They were walking with God in sight. Okay? They also had life abundant. Physically, spiritually, that was theirs. They walked and lived in righteousness. They were like God in his image. Yet they had a need of God for fellowship, for family, for worship. They had a need for God's rule over their life. They had a need for God's reign over their life. And God spoke to them on a regular basis, divine truth and direction and wisdom from his own very mouth, his word. And I got to thinking about what Adam and Eve needed. They needed divine rule and reign and relationship with God. And man, we have gone so far away from that, haven't we? Okay, in a world where we are trying to live off independence and self-sufficiency and self-motivation and self-elevation, what we have done in return is we have abandoned the rule of God. We have abandoned the reign of God for our own. And so what do we have to offer in our own self? What do we have to offer? Brokenness, right? Sinful relationship, pieces, woundedness, shattered lives, tainted philosophy, tainted religion, flawed views of God. We have no sense of morality or humanity. We don't have peace. We've got pieces. We've ran so far. But here's my thing. Thank you, Lord. He still pursued us. Right? He's still looking for us. When Adam and Eve sinned and broke relationship with God in Genesis chapter 3, what did they do? They tried to run and hide, yet God still pursued. And God went on this rescue mission for their soul. Even when they abandoned that sweet and perfect reign and rule, God still came after them. Heard a story about a telemarketer. He was calling a home one day, and a small voice answered the phone, and it whispered, "Hello." And the voice said, "Hello, my name is such and such. What is your name?" And the little boy whispered, "My name is Jimmy." And he says, "How old are you, Jimmy?" And Jimmy says, "I'm 4. And the telemarketer says, "That's good. Jimmy, is your mom home?" And the little boy says, "Yes, but she's busy." "Okay, Jimmy, is your father home?" He says, "Yes, but he's busy too." I see, Jimmy. Well, who else is there with you? I need to talk to somebody." "The police are here." "The police? Well, may I speak to one of the police?" And Jimmy says, "They're busy too." "Is there any other grown-ups in the house?" And he's like, "Yeah, firemen are here too." And the telemarketer said, "Well, can I speak with a fireman, please, sir?" And Jimmy says again, "They're all busy." "Jimmy, are all the people in your house really that busy?" "Yes." "What are they all doing?" And Jimmy whispered, "They're looking for me." Now listen, we have no need to be afraid. We have no need to run or hide from God's reign and rule in our life, right? His word and wisdom and divine way and direction, they are perfect. Yet, what he gave Adam and Eve is what he offers you too. Offers you freedom, offers you family, offers you a solid, sure foundation. And here's the challenge for this part. Don't forsake that rule. Don't forsake that reign for one of your own. That's how we get broken. That's why we need mending. Because we forsake God's rule and reign and we make our own rule and reign. And so there's a need here for a relationship, for God's rule and reign. And there is now too. But here's something else. There was also a need for responsibility and resolve to trust and follow God. Do you know why we have so many laws today? Do you know why we have so many rules? Do you know why we have judges and police and jails? Because we couldn't do the one thing that God said for us to do, and that was to obey. That's how it all started. It's as if God plants this tree and puts a red button on it, and he says, "Don't touch the red button." And what do? We want to touch the button, right? God gives us one rule. He says, obedience, resolve, follow me, trust in what I say, and do it. And God didn't, think about what God didn't ask Adam to do. God didn't ask Adam to love him. God didn't ask Adam to be faithful to him. God designed us for obedience. Verse 16, you look in chapter 2, verse 16, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. You will die. The reason for that is that God is Lord over all. That's the one measure of standard that God is in charge. Okay, and nothing has been changed today either. Obedience is still at the core of following Jesus Christ. Obedience is at the core of loving your neighbor as yourself. Obedience is at the core of being a faithful husband or a faithful wife or a faithful son and daughter. Obedience is at the core, okay? And so when you're looking at this perfect relationship, the only way to remain that perfect relationship was to simply be obedient. And we needed a relationship with God. We also needed a relationship with each other. And here's a great thing today. I am so, so glad God did not leave us alone. Aren't you? He gave us one another. So when you look at each other, what do you see? And in our sinfulness, we oftentimes see flawed people. If you want, you can look at somebody else and you can see disappointment. If you want to, you can look at somebody else and you can choose to see the pieces and you can see the brokenness and you can see the waywardness in their life. Or you can look at every person on the face of this earth as a loving gift and reminder that God did not leave us alone. Okay? But that He gave us one another. We had a need. God met that need. So praise God today for your spouse. And praise God today for your children. And praise God today for your parents. And praise God today for your extended family and for your friends and your church family. And praise God for your coworkers. And praise God for even the difficult people who make your life miserable. Thank you, Lord. I'm not alone. All right? And in that perfect relationship, remember what we needed. Last thing today, and I'm done. Remember what we had. Remember what we had. Look at verse 25, chapter 2, the first part of verse 25. Actually, the second. The man and his wife were both naked, and look at this last part. And they were unashamed. They were unashamed. Before temptation, before lust gave in, before the lure of the enemy, before sin, there was perpetual peace with God. There was purpose. There was prosperity. There was a plan in place. And that was for man to enjoy God and God to enjoy us and for us to bless God and He in return to bless us, to be free without fault, to be free without flaw. We had it all. And we had everything right there. Remember what we had. We had no idea of sin. We had no idea of rebellion. We had no idea of the brokenness. And we had no idea that 6,000 plus years later, we'd be like we are today. We had no idea. We were not ashamed. And I know that in the context of this passage, I get it. It's speaking about Adam and Eve's sexuality. It's speaking about the purity of their relationship. The principle is applicable, okay, all across the board. In the perfect relationship with God and with one another, there was no shame. There was no sin. As Michael Thompson said in Heart of a Warrior, he said, we had nothing to hide. We had nothing to fear. We had nothing to prove. They were all God's. But you know what happened. You live in it every day. You're reminded of it every day. We're broken people. Our lives are. Our families are. Our relationships all are, our souls are broken. And ever since that sad moment in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, when sin and shame broke into our reality, you need to hear this. God has been on the move. Ever since Genesis 3:6 happened, God has been on hot pursuit to mend what was broken. I read that Genesis chapter 3 is the pivot on which the entire Bible turns. After Genesis 2 verse 25, you get sin, you get shame, you get scars, you get wounds, you get flaws, you get story upon story of pain and struggle and heartache and turmoil and failure over and over and over again. You read about that. You read of lies in the Word of God. You read of betrayal and adultery and abandonment and wickedness of every count, of immorality, of addiction, abuse, idolatry. You read about theft. You read about cold-blooded murder. But as far as man ran away from God, God still, after Genesis 3:6, God went on a pursuit for your heart and your life to mend and to give us what we needed, to give us what we were meant for, to make us who we're meant for, and to show us that what we were meant to have, we can have through Christ. I know and I understand. I get it, that nothing in this world is perfect. We live in a broken world, but what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, that's perfect. And what you were meant for, and what you needed, and what you had can be mended. That's why Christ came. To cover you in His goodness, not your own. To cover you in His grace. To cover you in His love. To cover you in His forgiveness and peace and purpose and plan. How I love to read Romans 5, 6 and 8 that says, when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And God demonstrates His own love towards us. And that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. What did He die for? He died to heal who was broken beyond repair. He died to bring home what was so far gone. He died to bring worth to what was worthless. He died to bring purpose to that which was purposeless. And He died to bring mercy and grace to those who were undeserving, to those who were unworthy. And He came so that we all could be mended. Every facet of your life. And I don't know who among us today needed to hear that. But I pray that you know before you leave this place that God still loves you even in the midst of your brokenness. Even with the pieces. You've got to learn to give Him your pieces. Let Him bring the healing. Let Him do the mending. Can I pray with you today? Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Lord, You are worthy of every ounce of our praise and thanksgiving for mending what was broken. I understand, and I've heard it so many times, that yes, we live in a sinful, tainted, evil world. And what we had has been lost. And what we were meant for, we don't add up to. And what we needed, we often substitute for something else that will make up for it and won't even come close to making up for it. But may we remember today, and may we praise You today for what we needed, You gave in Jesus Christ. For what we were desperate for, You gave us through Jesus Christ. For what was meant to be, You made present as Jesus Christ came and died for our sins and shed His precious blood for our forgiveness, for our freedom, for our salvation. Oh, and what we were meant to have, give to us by Your grace alone. And so I understand and I know that there are a bunch of busted up people in this room and in this world who need the hand of God on their life to bring the mending. And I pray that they would know and understand that without Jesus, without a relationship with Jesus, without that perfect relationship, none of the other relationships that we have matter. None of the other relationships that we have any significance without a relationship with Christ. Oh Lord, mend our broken relationship with You first. And so God, if there is someone or more in the room today who are in need of repentance and restoration and salvation in Christ Jesus, I pray, Lord, that they would give their heart and their life to You right now. They don't have to live in pieces. And they don't have to live broken. And they don't have to ask any more questions. They don't have to wonder where they came from or who they were created to be. They were meant to be created and handcrafted in the image of God. You don't make junk. And so if there are people in the room today that want to trust in Jesus Christ, I want to pray along with you. If you feel in your heart to pray with me today, just pray, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to be who you've made me to be. I want to be restored and forgiven. But I know that through your blood, through your sacrifice, I can be. And so, Lord, please cleanse me of my unrighteousness. Cleanse me of my sin. Forgive me, Lord, where I fail. I turn my life over to you. I trust in you as my Savior and my God. I want peace within. I want perfect peace with Jesus. Come into my life. Lord, I pray that if someone gave their heart to you today, that they wouldn't be ashamed to let it be known today, that they would take time to praise your name, that they would take time to tell me or tell Sean or tell one of our leaders or tell one of their friends, our church family, let them know of what Jesus has done in their life. And Lord, I want to pray for our church family too. Said at the beginning of the message, some of those messed up people in the world are those who say they follow Christ. Relationships are just as bad for those who say they follow Jesus. And so as we go into this series about mendedness and being healed, I pray we begin to give you our broken pieces, to give you our broken relationships, to give you what's so far wrong and place them at your perfect feet. And Lord, would you minister during this invitation time? I'm going to ask Robbie and Joey if they would to come. And we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And Lord, I just pray you'd have your will in our way and in your way in our life. And may we be obedient to what you're leading us to do today. You take over, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.